ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नवेतव्यं कलाकूताद् पशाज्जलादि संभवात् लोभकार्यो नवो जातु रोषकामस्तु वस्तुषु। A poison known as kalakuta will be generated from the ocean of milk. But you should not fear it. And when various products are churned from the ocean, you should not be greedy for them or anxious to obtain them, nor should you be angry. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It appears that by the churning process, many things would generate from the ocean of milk, including poison, valuable gems, nectar, and many beautiful women. The demigods were advised, however, not to be greedy for the gems or beautiful women, but to wait patiently for the nectar. The real purpose was to get the nectar. Hare Krishna. First, I would like to take this away. Next, I would like to welcome everyone. Today we are beginning our yatra, following in the footsteps of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj, wrote the translations and purports to the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in Sri Radha Damodar Temple of Vrindavan Dham. Could everyone hear? If you cannot hear, raise your hands. If you're raising your hands, then you must have heard. But there are people back there who cannot hear very well. Everyone else could hear? Devo. With those three volumes of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada boarded Jaladuta, the King George Dockyards of Calcutta, Friday the 13th of August 1965. For over 30 days, he sailed on the cargo ship MV Jaladut. When he came off the ship in New York, at first he did not see anyone waiting for him. He just walked forward in a strange land, alone, with only 40 unchangeable rupees. He looked right and left, then walked forward. Srila Prabhupada later said that he felt no fear because he was there on the order of his Guru Maharaj, and he knew he had this box of Srimad Bhagavatams. It was his life mission to translate the entirety of Srimad Bhagavatam. But suddenly, in the middle of this translation, he took on another project. He was hardly halfway through the Srimad Bhagavatam when he decided to write translations and purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Because Srila Prabhupada considered it so very, very important. He did not know how many more days Krishna would keep him in this physical world. He had already written Krishna book, the summary study of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, in case he were to be taken away before he completed the entirety of this work. So how very important it was to Srila Prabhupada. Previously, one of the first books he translated in the Western world was the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The essential instructions that Lord Chaitanya had given to Ramananda Rai, Sanatan Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, but the Leela and the vast treasure of the glories of Lord Chaitanya were unknown to the Western world. 17 volumes were completed, and he instructed his disciples to transcribe, edit, proofread, paint all the illustrations, and publish within 2 months. Rameshwar Prabhu, who was then head of BBT in Los Angeles, told Srila Prabhupada that if we really, really work hard, we can complete one volume every 2 months. Srila Prabhupada ordered, I want all 17 volumes complete in 2 months. Mukam karoti vatsalam pangun lankayate girin yat kripata maham bande sri gurum dinataranam. For one who has faith in the mercy of Sri Guru, even if lame can cross over mountains, even if dumb can speak eloquent verses, and even blind man can see the farthest stars in the sky. This was personified when the devotees unified, worked together, 24-hour shifts, they performed the impossible. In the Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described how Lord Chaitanya, in order to deliver all kinds of living beings without considering who was fit or unfit, commenced on a journey to South India. In Sri Rangam, we will discuss in some detail Lord Chaitanya's travels and the incredible pastimes he performed. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he brought a large group of his disciples on a pilgrimage, tracing the places where Lord Chaitanya visited, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita. He lectured in each place, and in many of the prime places, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed footprints of Lord Chaitanya to honor his visit to there. In our last South India Yatra, we began where Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour is first explained at Kurmukshetra. From there, we went to Singhachalam, Vishakhapatnam, then traveled to Vidyanagar, which is today called Rajmundri, and the specific place, Kovur, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke with Sri Ramananda Rai and there revealed the highest treasures of spiritual truth. Then following Lord Chaitanya's footprints, we went to Mangalagiri in Bijaywada, the banks of the Krishna River, then to Ahovalam, visiting the various mountains and valleys, having darshan of the nine forms of Lord Narasimhadev. And then we concluded our yatra in Tirupati. So we covered the principal places of Lord Chaitanya's travels in Andhra Pradesh. In this yatra, we will follow Lord Chaitanya's footprints. Of course, we're traveling by buses because most of you do not have the time to go the traditional route with bare feet. And we will cover the primary places of Tamil Nadu. We were supposed to start in Kanchipuram, but our very, very dear and gracious friend, Revati Raman Prabhu, the temple president of Tirupati, invited us to come here with so much emotion and devotion that it was very difficult to say no. So we are beginning our yatra today in Tirupati. From here to day after tomorrow, we will go to Kanchipuram, then the birthplace of Sripad Ramanujacharya. Next, we will visit Srirangam, the largest temple in all of India, the headquarters of the Sri Sampradaya, the place that Lord Chaitanya resided for 4 months during Chaturmasya. Then we will visit possibly Tanjore and Rameshwaram, Setubandha. And for those of you who like to walk, we will go to Dhanush Tirtha. Chaitanya Charitamrita Prabhupada writes, "One who bathes in Dhanush Tirtha never takes birth in this material world again." I bathed there before, but I must have done something wrong, so I'm going to try again. Then we will go to Madurai, where the Meenakshi and Sundareshwar temples are, where Lord Chaitanya met Ramdas. And at that place, our yatra will officially end. But the brahmacharis, whatever brahmacharis wish to come, will continue for another yatra to Kanyakumari, Cape Comorin, then to the Adi Keshav temple, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered the Brahma Samhita. And then we will travel to Trivandrum, the Ananta Padmanab temple, and then return to our respective places. Advaitacharya, he said to Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you place your lotus feet, that is Vrindavan." So by remembering the beautiful pastimes and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, we can achieve, by their mercy, the greatest treasures of prema bhakti. That is our only aim. I'm especially grateful to the devotees of Radha Govinda Temple here in Tirupati for making such amazing arrangements to welcome us. In fact, in all our yatras for so many years, I do not believe we have been welcomed so graciously and enthusiastically as we have here in Tirupati. Do you all enthusiastically agree? Thank you. And it's such a heart-melting experience to see the project that they are developing. I heard about it. I saw photos, but I did not dream it would be so glorious. Wonderful temple, amazing Govinda's restaurant, and their BBT godown is bigger than practically the entire Radha Gopinath project. They are so enthusiastic to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And guest house, so many rooms, and they're beautiful rooms. And they're actually functionable and clean. Something very rare in Bharatvarsha. And I saw their school and Goshala. Wonderful projects. And the temple that they are building. From the inside and outside, it is without doubt in my heart one of the most glorious, magnificent projects in all the world, being offered to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And for this we are eternally grateful to His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami Maharaj, for inspiring these devotees. Where they're getting the funds, and they have no designers. The devotees themselves are designing everything. It's truly a miracle on earth that this temple is being built. But a temple is only as effective as the people living inside the temple. Because the great acharyas, Ramanuja, Madhva, the Goswamis, they established their temples to be like spiritual universities. Places to associate with sadhus, holy men. And in that association, we learn who is the deity, how to approach the deity, and what is the ultimate perfection of life. Sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. In the association of devotees, we learn how to establish our relationship with Krishna by understanding who He is and who are we. And how to act according to that relationship, according to the 9 processes of devotional service. And by doing so, our hearts become purified. And then the ultimate goal of life, prayojana, or love of God, is realized. So we are very, very grateful, and grateful and amazed by what the devotees are doing here. These special effects are meant to keep you awake in my because I have no power to do so on my own. I would like to welcome to our yatra some of Srila Prabhupada's beloved disciples who have so kindly joined us today. We have with us His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj. And we have our old and dear friend, His Grace Nityodita Prabhu. The list of names just flew away. And a very senior disciple of Prabhupada who served in India for many years, His Grace Yadavacharya Prabhu. And a very old friend of mine, who I have not seen in 33 years. We were both brahmacharis together. When I lived in India, though, I never saw any ISKCON temples in Vrindavan. The land was not even procured yet when I had to leave. In Bombay, when I was there, there was no temple, no deities. So on my way back to the West, the first temple I had a chance to live in of Srila Prabhupada's was in Amsterdam. And I was a very strange person to them. They were all very classical ISKCON devotees. The men had shaved heads and dhotis, and the ladies had saris. There was only a few devotees there. It was in the heart of the red light district, which means the area where the prostitutes do their business. And I was something very strange coming from India. But they were very kind to me. And especially one particular devotee. We were both not initiated. But then I left after about a month and went to America. And soon after he was initiated, and Srila Prabhupada gave him the name Haribol Ananda Das. Is Haribol Ananda Prabhu here? Anyways, last night was the first I saw him in 33 years. Let us welcome him and his family to our yatra. So during this pilgrimage, there are certain principles that we try to follow. Because most of the people here are householders or students with various duties to perform in this world. And hopefully you are all performing your sadhana very carefully in your homes and regularly visiting and performing seva at Prabhupada's temples. The special blessing of these yatras is the opportunity to be away from everything. No domestic duties, no occupational duties. No computers. Hopefully, no cell phones. Just to be for the next 2 weeks in the association of Vaishnavas, where our only purpose is to hear the glories of the Lord to chant the holy names of the Lord, to develop intimate, loving relationships with the Vaishnavas, to see the holy places of the Lord's pastimes, to take the dust of those places upon our heads, to pray for the causeless mercy of the Acharyas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to honor Krishna's prasad. That is all. So during this yatra, let us make a resolution individually and collectively. No prajalpa, no gossip, no discussing the mundane things of this world. All of that, if you ever have to do it again, it's waiting for you back in Bombay or wherever you come from. But we have come to totally absorb our consciousness, absolutely, in purifying our hearts. Through Vaishnav Seva, Hari Katha, and Hari Kirtan. And some austerities will be. I believe there is over 2,000 devotees on this yatra. And we're going to many places. Each place we have to get a new place to live, a new venue for prasad. We have to find places for the lectures. We'll be driving in over 40 buses. So some patience. But that is called tapasya. We should be cheerful, joyful. Whatever inconvenience, we should neutralize any sufferings by taking shelter of the holy names of the Lord. Queen Kunti prayed, Vipadashantu tashashvat tatra tatra jagatguru. Let calamities come again and again. Because whenever calamities do come, I remember you. And in remembering you, I do not have to see birth and death ever again. So tapasya means suffering for a higher purpose. And tapo divyam putra kayena sattvam, it is the very purpose of human life to perform tapasya. Because through such tapasya, we experience the highest happiness. So yes, at times where we have to wait, or where things are not going our way, or not coming according to our plan, that is greatest blessing and opportunity to take shelter of the holy name and be purified. In this yatra, let us be in a very prayerful mood. Tomorrow, a special, spontaneous schedule has been made. For those of you who have not heard, we are all going to the top of the hill, to Tirumala, and at 9 o'clock, we are given special darshan of Sri Venkateshwar. Now I'm going to tell you something that for those who know the inside story, you will be amazed. For those of you who don't, someday you will. Dr. Alwa is a trustee of Tirupati Temple. Every Friday for the whole year, he gives a new beautiful silk dress for Balaji. He's given beautiful crowns, and the effulgence behind Balaji, made of gold, was donated by him. And he's the personal doctor for almost all the pujaris. And therefore, he could arrange amazing special favors that no one else can do. So because it's the Christmas time, big rushes will be coming to see Balaji. So we asked Dr. Alwa if he could arrange for 2,000 devotees to get in without having to wait in line for 24 hours. And he said it was not possible. He said it was not possible. 2,000 people, he said, it's too much. I cannot get them a special darshan. So we sent a message to Revati Raman Prabhu, and in so many words asked him if he could do it. And even Dr. Awa said, it's impossible, no one can do it. But he worked very hard for many days and met many people. And Revati Raman Prabhu has arranged all 2,000 devotees to go right into Balaji's temple to have darshan tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Some mystic power that... It must be the same power in which he's building this magnificent temple. Now, part two of this benediction is for those of you who are young and strong, or old and strong. We will be walking up the mountain tomorrow. For those of you who are not in those two categories, then please take bus. Because we do have to be there by 9 o'clock. So if you're old and you walk slow, you will not make it by 9 o'clock. It takes approximately 4 hours if we walk fast. And it is all uphill. And many of the places are very, very steep. Although there is steps. And for those of you who decide to come, it is the rule that you must come without shoes, with bare feet. And in this way, we will be leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. We should be arriving by about 8 o'clock. And we will meet all of our brothers and sisters who take buses. And then we will have the blessed darshan of Sri Venkateshwar. So just so we get some idea, raise both of your hands if you plan to make the pilgrimage by foot tomorrow. How many of you have already walked to the top of the hill from the bottom in the past? And especially, I would like to welcome all of the assembled devotees. Paryatra. Today's verse is Lord Vishnu speaking to the demigods. He has already instructed them of how to regain the lost treasures of their life. Ah, I'm sorry. There's one more disciple of Srila Prabhupada that is here. Our very dear god sister, Narutaki Devi Prabhu. Let us welcome her. So the Lord is explaining that you have lost the great treasure of your original homes. You've been conquered by the powers of the demons. And you have no strength at all to defeat them. So best to make a truce and churn the ocean of milk with the objective of churning nectar. He goes on to explain what will happen when you start churning. Many things will come out. You cannot either be elated or disturbed by any of them. There will be poison. Such a deadly poison. But do not be discouraged. Do not let it dampen your enthusiasm. Although it is a poison that has the power to destroy all life in the entire universe. Deadly. And there will also be even more dangerous things than those poison. Beautiful jewels, great wealth, beautiful women. Do not be distracted. Because you've in any way become distracted to any of those things, you will not get the nectar. Rupa Goswami, he wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that love of God, pure devotional service, is like an unlimited ocean of nectar. That is the real nectar that we are seeking. Anandam budivaradhanam pratipadam bunamrita svadhanam. The true nectar that we are always hankering for is loving devotional service to Krishna, who is the all-attractive object of everyone's love. And the path of bhakti is similar to the churning of the ocean of milk, the churning of our hearts. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabu Noi Sravanadi Sudhi Cheti Koriye Udoi. Pure love of God is within the heart of every living being. But it has been forgotten since time immemorial. But by practicing the ninefold principles of bhakti, and the association of devotees, then that nectar of love of God is awakened within the heart. Lord Chaitanya was asked by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, of the nine processes of devotional service, which is most important? And Lord Chaitanya responded, the chanting of the holy names, kirtanam. Because in this age of Kali, by simply chanting the holy names of the Lord offenselessly, we can achieve the perfection of all the other eight processes of bhakti. Harinam, harinam, harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva 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 gatiranyata. Therefore, there is no other way in this age of Kali than the chanting of the names of Hari. So we are chanting Krishna's names. We are associating with the devotees. We are worshiping the deities. We are following regulative principles. We are hearing Hari Katha and reading from Srila Prabhupada's books to clean our heart and taste that nectar of devotion. But what happens when we follow this practice of bhakti? Many distractions will come in our way to test us. And herein, Krishna's warning that things may come that may horrify you, that may threaten to crush your faith into fine powder. And other situations may come upon you that are so very pleasing. That which you never had. Pleasures beyond our imagination may be available to us. Brahmabhuta prasanatmana sochati nakangshati. But we should neither be attracted nor should we be averse unnecessarily to anything. Neither hankering nor lamenting. We must keep our consciousness focused on our goal. This is all important. If we want to achieve the fulfillment of devotional service, it does not happen automatically. Vyavashayatma ka budhir ekeha kudunandana bahushaka hinantascha budhayo vyavashayanam. Krishna tells us, those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So yes, things come. Horrible situations that we could have never dreamed of may come upon us. But we cannot be diverted. We cannot lose our faith or our enthusiasm. And so many attractions, amorous, enchanting opportunities may come upon us. Wealth, beautiful women, fame and followers, even liberation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoita kitvai. I am fixed. My goal is one. I do not want any amount of wealth, any wonderful place to reside, any nice car to drive in, any big bank balance. I don't want it. It is a disturbance. Nor do I want even the most beautiful, most accommodating, enchanting ladies who are willing to serve me throughout my life, or the opposite sex, we may say. I do not want followers, people who adore me and give me the sense of popularity and fame. I do not want even to be known as a great scholar or poet. Nor do I want liberation from sufferings in this world. My fixed goal, my exclusive desire, is to be your unconditional servant, birth after birth after birth. We hear about it every day. But the fact is, we must take it serious. We must exercise it. We must put this principle into our life. ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. Because as we approach Krishna, he will reveal himself accordingly. Maya will prevent poison and the superficial forms of material nectar. Krishna says, tolerate it. Matra sparshastu konteya sitosna sukadukada agama payanonityastamstatiksha swabharata. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, pleasure and pain, success, victory. Success and failure, victory and defeat. They are all coming like the winter and summer seasons. The poisons and the nectars of this world. Learn to tolerate them. Tolerate the difficulties and tolerate the opportunities for pleasure. And carry on with our devotional service at all costs. Because pure devotional service, Rupa Goswami describes, is very rare. And why is it so rare? Because very few people are willing to tolerate the anguishes and the pleasures of this world. The threats and the opportunities. Manusyanam sahasresu kashchid yatati siddhaya yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mam veti tatvata. Out of thousands of people who endeavor for perfection, out of thousands and thousands of people, one endeavors for perfection. And out of those who are endeavoring for perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Why? Because when we attain pure bhakti, Krishna's bhaktivatsal, he voluntarily arranges to be subordinate to the love of his devotee. It is his own sweet will that he becomes the prisoner in the heart of his pure, unalloyed devotee. So he will not give it very cheaply. And through Maya Devi, there will be so many distractions. We must remain fixed. And how is that possible? We are all weak. If we think we're strong, then we're already defeated. None of us, as infinitesimal jivatmas, have any power against Maya, Krishna's own external energy. Daivi yeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. This material nature, consisting of threefold gunas, very difficult to overcome. Only one who takes shelter of me can cross beyond it. So we are infinitesimal. We must humble ourselves. We must take shelter of the association of Vaishnavas. We must take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy scriptures. We must take shelter of the order of the spiritual master. We must take shelter of the dust of the feet of the previous acharyas. We must take shelter of the holy name. And we must take shelter of whatever service we are offered. And if we sincerely take shelter, Krishna will be there to protect us. Otherwise, we are sure to be washed away by the strong tsunami waves of attractions and aversions of this world. Hmm. what the Lord predicted is exactly what happened. And the Lord is warning us at the very beginning of our Krishna consciousness. Poison and different nectars will come. Do not be distracted. The demigods, along with the asuras, they worked so hard. So difficult was this project of churning the ocean of milk. They had to move an entire mountain. Their limbs were breaking, their fingers were aching. Dislocations, people were being crushed to death. Ultimately, they had to cry out to the Lord to help them. And then the snake Vasuki, they're using him as a churning rod, and immediately the whole mountain's sinking. And they're trying to lift it up with all their strength. But they couldn't do it. They cried out to the Lord to help, and he appeared as Kurmavatar to create a nice foundation. And then blazing flames were burning. So many difficulties. But they were so eager for this nectar, they just kept going. And similarly, after years and years and years of very serious surrender, we're expecting nectar. But the Lord predicts that poison will come out. Before you reach the nectar, first you have to tolerate the poison. And what kind of poison? Kalakuta. This is not ordinary poison. It was spreading in all directions. One drop of it could practically extinguish the human race. And where to put it? Today, in Kali Yuga, so many poisons we're creating. Nuclear waste. And we somehow or other, we either put it in the ocean or we bury it underground. But it's just a matter of time till it's going to come back and haunt us. Yes? But this Kalakuta is something billions of times more dangerous. It was flying in all directions. Where to put it? What to do with it? All life was about to be extinguished. Both the demigods and the demons were bewildered. They didn't know what to do. They were helpless. In that helpless state, Janmaishwarya Sruti Sribir Edamanabadapuma Naivar Hatyavadatum Vaitvam Akinchana Gocharam. In that helpless state, they became very humble. Kunti Devi prays, wealth, beauty, high birth, prestige, and knowledge. These are great disqualifications. They make us proud. Even if we chant the holy names, if we have pride, the chanting is superficial. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya taught, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tador Ibasi Hishnuna, Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. If you want to find shelter in the holy name, you must follow these principles. Otherwise, we will chant and make little advancement. It may take us many, many, many births. If we want to actually taste the sweetness of Krishna in his name, it is not an alternative. It is a must. We must follow this principle, as difficult as it may seem. To practice the humility of a blade of grass, the tolerance of a tree, offering all respect to others and expecting none in return. In this way, we will taste the nectar of the holy name and chant constantly. So all of these people were quite proud. But when they were in a helpless state, about to be devoured by this all-consuming poison, they chanted the name of the Lord. They cried out in deep prayer to Lord Vishnu to save them. And the Lord appeared and told them, go to Lord Shiva. Vaishnavanam yatashambhu. So they cried out for the help of Lord Shiva. And he demonstrated why he is extolled in the Srimad Bhagavatam as the greatest of all Vaishnavas. He took all that poison, an ocean, and concentrated it. Can you imagine how powerful that concentrate poison was? It fit in the palm of his hand. He drank it. For you and me, so that we could live, he drank that poison. Rudra has a sampradaya. Balabhacharya, he is in that line. Lord Shiva is teaching pure devotional service to Krishna in Vrindavan. That is the purpose of this material existence, to bring people to the point of surrendering to Krishna with love. So to give us that opportunity, Lord Shiva drank the ocean of poison. And Srila Prabhupada explains therein that the greatest service that one could render for the pleasure of the Lord is to be willing to make sacrifices of our own life for the welfare of others. And Lord Chaitanya has described para upakara. What is the greatest welfare work that we can offer to others? To make sacrifices, to spread the glories of the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names. By this calculation, we could understand how infinitely dear Srila Prabhupada is to Lord Krishna. When we chant his pranam mantra, Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Buddha, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminitina, Krishna Prestaya Buddhale. He is very dear to Lord Krishna. But how dear? We can understand by carefully studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the people of this world, our only hope is causeless mercy. Krishna tells in Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuta nama dharmasya tadatma nam srijamyaham paritra anaya sadunam vinashaya chuduskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami juge juge. He descends into this world again and again and again to show his mercy. Because mercy is all we are made out of. We cannot breathe without the mercy of the Lord. We cannot think without the mercy of the Lord. We cannot speak. We cannot move. At every moment, we are surviving simply on the mercy of the Lord. To be grateful and to reciprocate with that mercy is real life. Otherwise, everything is an illusion. So now, I would like to tell the story about how the Lord so mercifully descended in this world to live on the top of Seshachala, the mountain that we are now at the foot of. Venkateshwar means the Lord who frees us from all of our sins. Vain means sin. Katha means one who delivers. We remain in this world suffering birth after birth because of our sinful reactions. Now in this age of Kali, it is an age of sin. It is an ocean of faults. One time, in Naimasharanya, the sages inquired from Srila Suta Goswami to tell the story of the incarnation of the Lord of the name Venkateshwar.